our case. Or you can look at some other stuff.
So now we're ready to do the exciting part. Look at that. Almost 20%. You guys are so good.
We're ready to do the exciting part, which isn't really that exciting. But it's more exciting than chapter 9.
And that is bond pricing, yields,
and valuation. Bond calculations turn out to be actually a little trickier, in my humble opinion, than the stock calculations, but not that tricky. Okay, so test these out. Okay. Here's two, because Matthew's going to get one from the guys in the back. And then here's five. You got it? Okay. Extras? I think I passed out too many. Okay. Oh, you got it there? And then you need it. Pass that back, please. Okay. Okay, so Joshua here. No, Nicholas is here. Thank you. Extras. Don't go away. Mr. Mata. Oh, wait, did I give you yours? I think I did. And Nicholas. Where is he? Pass this back to Nicholas, please. To give you back your work as soon as possible. Nicholas, Guillermo, did I give you the exam back? Oh, here it is. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. And then spreadsheet right there. Spreadsheet's right on the right there. Take a look at the spreadsheet. Okay. Now, here are the calculations. They're not that hard. They're a little tricky. But as you've probably have figured out now, what's the most important thing with a bond when you're looking at it? What's it going to pay us? Bond yield is one of the most important factors in bond valuation. What is the bond paying us? Because over the long sweep of time, the income is what you receive from investing in bonds. Although there are sometimes opportunities for capital gains and sometimes opportunities for capital losses when we invest in bonds. But when the bond is redeemed, doesn't matter what you paid for it, you're only going to get $1,000 back. And given that most bonds repay their principal without incident, they pay their interest, they pay their principal, the valuations calculated using bonds tend to be very predictable. The unpredictable factor in bond evaluation is the future direction of interest rates. Can anybody determine the future direction of interest rates? No. There are people who are paid tremendous sums of money to incorrectly predict interest rates. And you can be one of them. And you can make all kinds of stupid and ridiculous projections, and people will pay you gobs of money, and when you're wrong, you say, oh, because of this. But next time I'll be right and pay me more money. Right. But if you plan to hold on to your bonds for the long term, until you get your money back, then you don't care. The future rate of interest rates is not important to you. You are mostly interested in the income, not generally affected by the direction of interest rates, since you have no intentions of selling your bonds. If you have to sell your bonds, you might be in trouble. I mean, something forces you. I got to sell my investments. I got to raise some cash. Then you might get in trouble. But as I said, you are only concerned if you are forced or if you intend to sell your bonds before they mature. Now, we danced around this a little bit. Is this the better one? Yeah, that's the better one. There are three different yields. There's the coupon yield, coupon rate, nominal yield, nominal rate. They all mean the same thing. Nominal rate, nominal yield, coupon yield. That's the stated. Another word is stated interest. That's the interest that's sitting on the bond indenture, sitting on the bond document. But we have to remember that bond prices go up and down. So there are two others that are very important. The current yield, or the current rate, and yield and rate must mean the same thing. And then the yield to maturity. And along with the yield to maturity, we also often calculate the yield to call if we believe that there's a pretty darn good chance that the bond is going to be called away from us. In the muni bond world,
We also have to look at what's called the taxable equivalent yield. The taxable equivalent yield. I wish I had more board. And the double tax free, double tax exempt equivalent yield. Because it doesn't help us to take a look at the muni bond yield unless we've done this calculation, because we can't compare apples to apples. And so the calculations are really not that difficult. Let's take a look at nominal yield. So I gave you chapter 10, and there's going to be some worksheets in chapter 10, and they're going to be on the exam, and they're going to be on the assignment. So let's learn how to do them now. This is easy. If I ask you what's the nominal rate or coupon rate on an 8% bond, what do you say? It's just 8%. It's like, what's your name, Bob? Okay, so what's the nominal rate on a 7% bond? What's the nominal rate on a 3% bond? 1%. This is tricky. $10. 10%? $100. So be careful. Some people go, 1%, oh, it's $100. No, 10% is $100. Because bonds in this class will always be $1,000 par value. So nominal yield, 8% of $1,000, $80. Piece of cake. Okay, we know that. Don't put 8 cents. Because then if you do, you're not going to get the rate, plus you get a sapapo. Okay, so how are we doing here? Up. But the nominal yield is not as important as the current yield or the yield to maturity. And then the yield to call, if we believe, it's basically the same as yield to maturity. If we believe that the bond is going to be called away from us, we're assuming it's going to be called away from us, we'll do the yield to call. So the current rate is what we're getting paid right now. We look at the market price. Whereas the yield to maturity is what we will get if we hold it to maturity, if we hold it till we get our $1,000 back. And then the yield to call is basically the same thing, but we assume it's going to be called away from us. So here's the formula, and it's not that difficult. You take the annual... Annual interest... And you will, do I know what I'm doing now? Okay, divided by the market price. Very simple. So let's say we have an 8% bond, but it's selling for $800. It's a discount bond. We take the annual interest. So what's the annual interest on an 8% bond? Everyone should say $80. What's the annual interest on an 8% bond? What's the annual interest on a 3% bond? What's the annual interest on a 1% bond? What's the annual interest on a 10% bond? So yeah, it's the tricky one right there. It's the tricky one. Okay, so $80. But what was the market price? $800. This is a discount bond. So what is it paying us currently? $80 divided by... Get your calculators out. Get your $80 divided by... You already see it there. But that's 10%. So this bond is paying us 10% currently. Why? We only had to pay $800 for it. But it's paying us $80 of interest every year. Hence, it's a discount bond and paying us more than the current rate. Does that make sense? Yes? Nod your head yes or no? It's not. I don't think it's that hard, but some people kind of go, why would it? What tends to get people upset is, why would a bond be selling for less than $800? Well, as we saw, if people were afraid that the bond company or municipality was not going to make their interest payments, they'll dump it, they'll sell it for whatever price they have. Or if interest rates have risen, what happens to bond prices? They fall, right? It's a seesaw. So in this case, let's assume that the bond is not in default, danger of being in default. Interest rates have risen. Now, what happens if the bond is selling at a premium? So here, we're still getting $80 because that is fixed. That's what we call bonds fixed. The stated rate, the interest, the nominal rate, the nominal coupon rate, those are all fixed. But this time, it's a premium bond. It's selling for $1,200. We're still getting $80, that's fixed, divided by 1,200, and what's the interest rate now? tough question, folks. Basically 6.6 2/3, right? 0.0. And if you just leave it like this, you know, I don't care. The calculator will eventually do that. But we would normally see something like that. Usually you see either 3 or 4 digits of accuracy. 2 digits to the right of the decimal point. So that's 3. Here's 3. Anybody take chemistry? That's 3 digits of accuracy. That's 4 digits of accuracy. Please don't round. Don't round up. It's not that it's wrong. Some people will round up to 7%. Is that wrong? Well, technically, no, it's not wrong. But that means anything between 6.5% and 7.49%, which is a big difference in the bond world. So please don't round to the nearest death. Maybe 2 digits of accuracy, but no. Use at least 3 digits of accuracy just because everybody else does and they'll snicker and guffaw at you if you don't. Okay, so we paid $1,200 for this bond. We're only getting $80, so currently it's paying us 6.67%. Now, here comes the yield to maturity. The yield to maturity takes into account the price appreciation of the bond, if the bond is selling at a discount, or the price depreciation of the bond if the bond is selling at a premium. Because you bought it at 800, what are you going to get back when it matures? It's a $1,000 bond. What are you going to get back? What's your name, Bob? $1,000. Right? You bought it at 800, you're going to get $1,000 back. You bought it at 1200, how much are you going to get back? Everyone, you're not saying. You may think I'm crazy. Maybe you're right. But if you say it, it actually you learn faster. It's a $1,200 bond. What's you going to get back when it matures? No, you're not going to get $1,200. What did I say? No, you're going to get $1,000. You're always going to get $1,000 back when it matures. You're always going to get the par value. Now, as we said, some bonds are $5,000, $10,000. But in this class, we will all, and most bonds are $1,000. We will always use $1,000. So, yes. Because other bonds are paying the same damn thing. You look at the interest rate that these new bonds are giving you and the interest rate that the old bonds are giving you, so you say, well, what the hell? But, yeah, you're looking for the interest. But I'm with you. If I'm going to buy bonds, because I'm cheap, I want to buy them at a discount. Because that means you're buying them when interest rates are high. Right? And that's what we get from bonds over the long sweep of time. We get our interest. But if you're just looking at the interest and you're saying, well, this bond, new bond's paying me 4%, it's selling for $1,000, and this bond's paying me 4% yield to maturity, current yield, even though it's paying far more, I had to pay more for it. You don't care. You don't care. But I do. I don't think bonds are a good deal right now. But stocks are pretty high, too. And real estate's starting to look interesting. Mm-hmm. Attractive. Because what's happening? You think we're having a... Well, hang on a minute. We probably won't get to it today. But there's something going on in the bond market. The bond market is the place to watch, folks. Stock market gets all the attention, but the bond market is where you want to watch. Now, for real estate, yeah. Because what's happening? Yeah, the market for real estate is slow, and so housing prices are starting to
go down.
Well, are they going down yet?
A little bit.
A little bit? Okay.
They're staying longer.
Right, exactly. Houses are staying on the market longer. Prices are softening, they say. I like the word they use. Softening. And it's just, I wish Zillow would extend their time horizon. But in 2000, see, this is what happened. So 2000, you just started the market, this is year 2000, skyrocket. I mean, housing prices went in two directions, up and way, way up, until about 2007, and then they did this. 2007, they just sort of, because if you had taken calculus, you heard of the first derivative, the second derivative? Yeah. They were looking at the second derivative, right? So even though prices were still going up, they slowed down, and in 2007 they hit acceleration zero, right? And so, on the velocity zero. And now, people say, oh, cool! Housing prices are taking a breather. What happened? Plummeted.
And so I'm thinking, I don't know if that's why they call it the future. But we're now, we're not there yet. Prices are still going up a little bit, at least last time I checked. But I think we're about, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as bad as 2008 and 2009. But then I didn't think 2008 and 2009 was going to be that bad. So don't listen to me. But I'm thinking there's going to be some deals in real estate coming soon. Okay. So now, and we'll get to real estate at the end of the semester. So there are two primary methods. The one that we're going to look at later on, the bond pricing formula, which is more accurate, but difficult to do manually. That's why there's spreadsheets. And then the approximation formula. And this is the one they're going to ask you to do on the Series 7. At least that's what they asked me to do, but that was 20 years ago. I assume they still ask you to do that. And it looks scary, but it really isn't. It's basically the same formula. We take the annual dollar amount, but instead of dividing it by the market value, we divide it by the average of the par value and the market value. Because we paid this much, we're going to get this much. So let's take the average of the two instead of just dividing it by the market value as we did with the current yield. And then we're going to add this bad boy here, which scares people. But really, it's very straightforward once it's explained, in my humble opinion. How much are you going to get? How much are you going to get?
$1,000.
I haven't drilled this into your brain yet. What are you going to get when the bond matures?
$1,000.
And we're going to subtract that from the market value. How much do we have to pay for it? And then we're going to divide by the number of years to maturity. And what this is going to tell us is, look, every year we're going to add a little bit more. Or subtract a little bit more, depending on whether it's a discount bond. We'll add a little bit more. It'll go from 800 to 1,000. Or whether it's a premium bond, then we're going to subtract a little bit every year because it's going to go from 1,200 down to 1,000. And how many years is it going to take to do that? And so let's do the formula. I know it looks scary, but it's not. If this is an 8% bond, how much interest are we going to get? Annual interest on an 8% bond?
$80.
And then I like to do the bottom first. Doesn't matter. If it's selling for $800, 1,000 plus 800 is 1,800 divided by 2. 900, right? You can look at it. Some of you can do it in your head, right? Middle of those. And then 1,000 minus 800 is $200 divided by 10 is $20. So what are we doing? Every year we're adding $20 to our annual interest as the price goes from 800 to 820 and 840 and 860 until finally it hits 1,000 at the end. So 80 plus 20 is $100 divided by 900 is 11.2%. So what does that mean? If we hold the bond, even though it's paying us 10% now, if we hold the bond until maturity, we're actually going to get 11.1% because we're going to get that appreciation from 800 to 1,000. Make sense? That's the yield to maturity. And on a discount bond, it's going to be higher than the current yield. Now, what happens when it's a premium bond? The same thing in reverse. What's the average of 1,000 plus 1,200? What's in between 1,000 and 1,200? Somebody could do it. 1,100, right? 1,100, yeah. Okay, now, you can calculate. That's why I use calculator. Okay, now, what do we do? 1,000 minus 1,200.
Negative.
Oh, negative numbers. You're going to freak out over negative numbers? No. Negative 200 divided by 10. Negative 20. So every year we're going to subtract $20. 80 plus a negative 20 is 60. 60 divided by the 1,100 gives us only 5.45%. So even though it was paying us currently 6.67%, if we hold it to maturity, we're only going to get 5.45%. Cool? Make sense? Okay, cool. Wait a minute. Now this goes over what we just described. The current yield on our 8% discount bond selling it at 800 was 10%. But the yield to maturity was 11.1%. And the current yield on our 8% premium bond was 6.67%, but the yield to maturity was 5.45. How is that possible? What's going on? Well, it's actually very straightforward. The discount bond was purchased at 800, but will be redeemed at 1,000. The premium bond was purchased at 1,200, but it's going to be redeemed at 1,000. So The yield to maturity calculation takes into account the bond appreciation if it's a discount bond, or the bond depreciation if it's a premium bond. Okay, cool. All right, so now yield to call. Okay, so let's use this guy. Mute. So let's now take out worksheet number one, and let's do a few. Not bad. We'll finish up these counts, hopefully. Extra packet? Yeah, I got extras. A lot of people don't show up anymore. But I make the copies just in case they do. Yeah, you don't have that? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Kathleen. Okay, so page number three, worksheet number one. A bond that pays 9%. This is one. 9% bond is currently priced at $1,200. What is the nominal interest rate? Well, you did the current interest rate. You're way ahead of me. What's the nominal interest rate? What's the coupon rate? What's the nominal interest rate on a 9% bond? Everyone should say 9. Annual interest is $90. This is where people get confused. But what's the coupon rate on a 9% bond? Everyone should say 9%. Like, what's your name, Bob? Okay. Now, what's the annual interest, Kathleen? $90. So the annual interest is $90. And Adriano is way ahead of us. He took the $90 annual interest divided by the $1,200 of market value. And how much are we getting currently? What's our current interest rate? What was it, Adriano? 7.5%. You can leave it as the calculator shows you. But if you do change it to a percentage, please do it right. And if you're having trouble with percentages, come see me. Go to the Academic Success Center. Ask them about percentages and decimal places. Cool? So the first answer is 9%. What's the nominal rate? What's the coupon rate? 9%. Now, number two is the same bond, right? This 9% bond is a 20-year bond. So now we know how many years we have until maturity. It has, it's not the same. It's a different one. It has a selling price of $1,100. So the market price is $1,100. And then the call price, we'll worry about that later. We'll do that after we do yield to call. So right for now, all we need to know is the annual interest rate, the nominal interest rate, the coupon rate, which gives us the annual interest, the years to maturity, and what the market price is. And so here's the formula. Annual interest divided by the par value and the market price divided by 2. So that's just the average. That's all it's doing. It's just calculating the average between the two. And then we're going to add to that the par value minus the market price and then divide that by the number of years until maturity. All right, piece of cake. So now let's start plugging in some numbers here. Okay, Joshua. Did I give you your exam back?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. So what's the annual interest on a 9% bond?
$90.
Don't put 9 cents. Okay, what's the par value always?
$1,000.
What's the market value?
$1,110.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. $1,110. I made a trick here. $1,110. Okay. So now, what's the average of 1,000 and 1110? So 1,000 plus 1110 is $2,110 divided by 2. 1150? No. 1155. Come on, use your calculator. I don't trust myself.
I make all kinds of mistakes. I was a math major, believe it or not, in my undergraduate years, and I would make all... This is before calculators. I mean, calculators were out, but they were $500, and none of us had one. And that was a lot of money then. So we weren't required to use a calculator. But I made all kinds of mistakes. And my profs thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny, but they thought it was funny. They would say, Adam, would you work on your arithmetic? I'm sorry. Okay, so now, question. No, this is just the two here. The reason we're dividing by two is because we're just finding the average. How do you find the average of two numbers? You add them and then divide by two. So 6 plus 8 is 14 divided by 2, and the average is 7. That's the reason. It has nothing to do with the years. That's just the average. Okay, now here comes the tricky part. What's the par value minus the market price? Negative 110. Negative numbers? Does it scare you? Laura's not scared. And then we divide by how many years we have until the bond matures. So 110 divided by 20? Negative, right? Negative 5.5. And so you take a plus 90 plus a minus negative 5.5. Come on, do it. 90 plus a negative or minus 5.5. 84.50. Questions, thoughts? Ideas, comments, criticisms, suggestions? Josh was looking at it like, yeah.
I thought we were adding the two.
Well, yeah, but you're adding a negative number.
Because there's two.
You see? 1,000? Yeah, 1,000.
I thought we were adding the par value and the market value.
That was down here. This, I know, that confuses people. The one we use, why do you use a plus sign here and a minus sign there? Because here, we're calculating the average. And that's how you calculate the average. You add the two numbers and you divide by two. That's all. And they have nothing to do with one another. This one, we're taking the par value minus the market value because we want to determine how it's going to get to that. Wherever it's starting. If it's starting at 800, it's going to make its way to 1,000. If it's starting at 1,200, it's going to make its way to 1,000. So if it's a discount bond, this will be positive. If it's a premium bond, that's going to be negative. It's really that simple. Make sense? Cool? Yes?
So at the bottom, you added the 1,000 and 1,110, and it gave you 2,110 divided by 2.
Well, see, that's why you guys got the calculator. What is it? 1,055?
Yeah.
Okay. See, you got to tell me. I don't have the calculator. I make all kinds of... I don't even try to do stuff in my head. That's why they have calculators. And you go to the 99-cent store, you can buy five of them. For the price of $5 coffee, you can have five calculators. And you paid $1.47 for that one, right?
$2.
$2! Okay. Yeah, the Casio, yeah. I shouldn't use parentheses. Minus 5.5. Because it's... Do it. What's 1,000 minus 1,110? Negative 110. Divide that by 20. No, it's not 55. That's if you divide it by 2. Negative 5.5. So now, Joshua, we add the plus 90 to a negative 5.5, and we get 84.
Yeah, I'm following it now.
Okay. I know. Why is there a plus sign here? Why is there a negative sign here? Okay, so what's the result? 0.00094. So a little over 8%. You could do that, or you could do that. That's better. Well, what's if 90, a plus 90, plus a minus, which means you subtract, 5.5. So 90 minus 5.5. It's the arithmetic. It's a little tricky. Okay? Now, the yield to call is basically the same damn thing.
The yield to call is the exact same formula. We just use a few different numbers, which I'll show you in a minute, using the magic of the device here. Okay? Come on. Okay, yield to call. The yield to call takes into account the possibility of the bond being called. You would only use this on premium price bonds because a bond issuer would never call on a discount bond. That means they'd be paying higher interest rates. They're not going to do it. It would only be on premium bonds. And again, we'll take a look at the internal rate of return in the next chapter, or use the exact same approximation formula. But what we do is we change the par value to the call value, and we change the number of years to maturity to the number of years of call. So we're just using a couple of different numbers. That's all. So here, if that same 8% bond priced at $1,200 had a call price of $1,080, that means they have to pay back $1,080, and it's callable in 5 years, then you would replace the par value with the call value and replace the number of years of maturity with the number of years until call. So if we go back to, we won't do this, unless you want to do it. You want to do this one, or let's do the one on the worksheet? Let's do the one on the worksheet. So it's mute. And so I'm going to use a different color instead of writing the whole damn thing, because I think it saves time. Plus, it also shows you what we're doing. It's pretty straightforward. This bond, it's callable in 10 years or 5 years? 5 years callable. And what was the call price?
$1,050.
So that means they have to pay us back $1,050. So all I'm going to do here is instead of using the par value, I'm going to use the call value. And instead of using the number of years to maturity, I'm going to use the number of years to call. So here I use 20 because that's when the bond matures. And here I use 5 because we're assuming in 5 years the entity, the municipality, the corporation is going to say, give us back our bonds. Here's your 1,000 or 1,050. Yes? Yield to call. It's the same formula except we replace this par value with the call value. And we replace the number of years to maturity with the number of years until call. It's the exact same formula. So let's do it again here. What's the annual interest rate on a 9% bond? $90. Okay. And the bottom, is it the par value? No, it's the call value plus the market price of 1110 divided by 2. So that's a little tricky. I'm not going to try to do it in my head. You guys do it. You got the calculator. 1080 is the answer? 1080? Okay, so what we do is it's 2060? 2160. Yeah, she's right. 1080. Okay, good. Now, instead of using the par value up here, we're going to use the call value minus the market price divided by not the years of maturity, but the years to call. And so what's that? That's negative 60? No. Negative 60 divided by 5 is negative 12. So a $90 plus a negative 12 gives us $78 divided by the 1080. And what is our rate of return?
7.22.
So if they called away from us in 5 years, we're going to get less than if they let us hold it to maturity. Why? Because they've basically taken away they've taken away our ability to make money off the bond. Is that pretty straightforward? Okay, there's a worksheet number 2, and there's a worksheet number 3, and then there's a assignment, and they're going to be on the exam for bonds. All right, so what are we doing next? Oh, right. Mute. All right, now, the yield to call was less than the yield to maturity. And this is typical because the bonds are called away. We would have less time to take advantage of the oversized interest payments.
And we get, but sometimes it depends. You know, if they have to pay us 1080 or something like that, we might actually make out a little better. Yeah.
What was the answer?
What was the answer? It was 7.22. Well, I can't see it very well. 7.22. All right. Yeah. How you doing? Got a few more minutes. Want to do taxable equivalent bonds? There. Right. Stretch. Okay. Taxable equivalent yields for muni bonds, tax exempt, tax free. Since muni bonds are free from federal taxes, in order to effectively compare muni bonds to other bonds, you need to compute the taxable equivalent yield. So if it's a bond not in your state, you use the very simple federal tax equivalent yield. If it's a muni bond in your state, then you have to use a little trickier, not that much trickier, formula. So, for example, we buy a bond that's not in California. The taxable equivalent yield is equal to the muni yield, the coupon rate, the stated interest and nominal rate, divided by 1 minus your marginal federal tax bracket. Does this look familiar for some of you? From Business 121. So let's say you're going out there and buy a 6% muni bond, and you're in the, to salute, in the 25% tax bracket. That's 6% divided by 1 minus 0.25. So what is that? Tough question, folks. 6% divided by 1 minus 0.25. Everyone, get your calculators. Come on. 0.75, right? And that is? You can read it if you want to read it. I'd rather you do it. 0.08. So what does that mean? That means you, if you're buying this 6% muni bond and you're in the 25% tax bracket, you got to go out and find a corporate bond that's fully taxable that pays you 8%. Huh? Well, wait a minute. How much interest does a 6% bond pay? Annual interest, $60. How much interest does an 8% bond pay? $80. Wouldn't you rather have $80 than $60? Yeah, right. The tax man cometh. Right? So what happens? You get that $80. What does the IRS say? How much do you owe? 25%. So how much you got to pay to the feds? $20. What are you left with? $60. So here we cannot compare a corporate bond or, you know, a treasury bond. We cannot compare, because the treasury, the IRS does tax you on treasury in interest. We cannot compare an interest rate from a muni bond with an interest rate from a corporate bond until we've done this calculation. We must do the taxable equivalent yield. Yes?
So in California, the state doesn't tax muni bonds like from within California. Is that a California-only rule? Or like?
I don't know if every state does this, but New York, Illinois, the high-tax states, they, if you buy muni bonds in their state, you don't pay income tax on those. I assume all states do it, but I'm not sure. I don't want to give you bad data, but I'm pretty sure most of the states, if not all, do it.
If you're in California and you bought like an Arizona muni bond, then that doesn't apply.
No, they damelo. California would want you to pay interest on the Arizona bond because the states can tax one another. The states are not. They can tax one another. The spreadsheet's hanging around somewhere. Okay, cool. I know you give me the 5-minute rule. Okay. Now let's quick take a look at the double tax rate. As Kathleen said, it's pretty true. I mean, no matter where you go, if you're in a high tax state, some states don't have an income tax. Some states don't have it, but many of the more liberal blue states, I love politics. Can you believe that there's a guy running for president who's gay? Can you believe that? I mean, it's so hard to believe. the first gay rights or whatever, homosexual rights protest was in 1966, and the people wore bags on their heads. They were so frightened. They protested, because that's your First Amendment right, in Washington, D.C., with bags over their heads. That's how frightened they were. And now we got a guy who's openly gay.
I'm sure he'd be Boston first game, right?
Well, exactly. If you look at the, it's like 5 to 10% of the population. So how many presidents have been? 45?
They say Lincoln was almost.
Whatever. None of my business. But still, it just amazes me. I never thought I'd see a person of color, a woman, certainly not a homosexual, in the White House. I was so surprised. I kept telling my wife, this is 2000. What?
Transsexual.
A robot, eventually. Cyborg, an animal, you know. I know a dog would do better than Trump. I know that. But in 2006 and 7, I told my wife, I said, no, they're going to kill him. Someone's going to kill Obama. And they kept him alive the whole damn time. So, salute us to the Secret Service. So when we come back, we'll do the exact same calculation, but we'll do it for the double tax-free. Okay? And then we'll look at something that will look really familiar and show you that bonds are kind of exciting, but not really. Okay. Cool. Are you getting an education? Yes. Are bonds exciting?
Yep.
No. Oh, they are? Okay, cool. Some people like bonds. Hey, and if you get into the bond world, I'm telling you, those bond investors are bank. They make a lot of money. You'll do well.